This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, right. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus 2. Sirius XM Channel 80. And the ESPN app and wherever you get your podcasts. And I speak pretty loudly. If you open your window, you might hear it. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
You know, normally I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will.
So Russell Westbrook has done it. The unbreakable record has been broken. He now has the most career triple-doubles in NBA history, 182.
The thing I like best about Westbrook, and the reason he is my favorite player, it's like watching Mike Tyson fight back in the day. Ding, ding, round one. Tyson was running at the dude to set it off. Westbrook, from opening tip, is going 100% effort all night. Like, really, why does he have the triple-double? Well, he's short. How does he get the rebounds? You know? We know how he scores. He's athletic, and he has moves to the basket and all that. And he has good court vision, and he can pass the ball. How does he get those boards? Because he's relentless, aggressive, always active. And you cannot set this record without being a great player. Just can't be done. Now, look, the triple-double's a tricky thing because it's like in baseball, the cycle. You hit a home run, a triple, a double, and a single. It means you're on base a lot, right? Probably good. I mean, it indicates maybe you're a good hitter for batting average, right? Especially if you have a bunch of cycles. You have some speed. You got a triple. You have power, obviously, double, triple, home run. But even though it indicates good things and it's rarer than, say, a game with two home runs, a double, and a single, it's better to have two home runs, a double, and a single. Like, a triple-double is great. But Westbrook had a season 25-10-10, and his shooting percentages weren't great. And James Harden had a 36-11-8 with much better shooting percentages. Harden's better. Right? But you can't average a triple-double for one season, let alone four in a row, without being an insanely great player. And Russell Westbrook is. And it is his misfortune to play in an era that shifted from under his feet. You know, if Russell Westbrook lived in any other era, he would be considered a greater player than he's been considered. He's a victim of circumstance in this sense. He's simply not a great outside shooter. And he's living in an era where that's super important to be a great outside shooter, or at least a very good one. And he's not. And even in that era, he's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. Obviously. Overrated by half basketball fans, like Scottie Brooks, who thinks he's the second greatest point guard of all time. Underrated by the other half, partly because who thinks he's not an MVP caliber player. And I understand that. It's like schizophrenic, right? In the sports world, it's not like a lot of guys, they may be overrated or underrated because you take the average kind of opinion of them and you kind of, are they better than that or worse than that? But with Westbrook, it's different. Half the fans think he's better than he is, and the other half don't understand how great he is. And I understand that because he's the one player I've ever seen ever in my life watching basketball where literally from play to play, I think the following. One play I go, you know, let's just be honest emotionally about this. That's the best player of all time. Like, I see Westbrook do stuff, and I go, best player of all time. And the very next play, I go, oh, you can't win a championship with this guy. Trade him. You can't win a championship with him. From play to play. Because he's playing all out all the time. By the way, last night was a great example of it. He sets the triple-double record in the same game against an Eastern Conference rival where they're down 1 point at the end of the game. And Westbrook pulls up a little too soon and a little too early, takes a three when they're only down a point, and misses it, and they lose. Here's Russell Westbrook after the Wizards game.
You put so much into the game. You put so much time. You sacrifice so much to put into the game and to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar and Magic and Jason Kidd and those guys. It's just something that I never would have dreamed about as a young kid growing up in L.A. And I'm truly grateful for moments like this and something that I should. Normally I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will.
He's not wrong. Like, there's Magic Johnson, and then there's everybody else. And everybody else includes Oscar Robertson and Isaiah Thomas and John Stockton and Steve Nash and Gary Payton and Jason Kidd and Steph Curry and Chris Paul and James Harden and now Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving and a whole bunch of guys. And Westbrook is right there in that category. And the question is, where do you rank him? The fact that Steph Curry and James Harden most years have been better than him means he can't be higher than third in his own era. And if you're third in your own era at best, because he's battling out Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving and a whole bunch of other guys for that distinction, then you can't be third best all time, right? You're probably not top five all time, but you could argue it with Westbrook. He is a great player, and there's no better guy to watch in the game. You know, on that all-time list, though, you know who the very greatest point guard is? Because it's always Magic, right? That's the reflexive argument. It's actually LeBron James. LeBron James is actually a point guard. He is. He's a forward. LeBron could play the three or the four. You're making your all-time team. You can put him at the three or the four. You know, I would say since Michael Jordan's on that team and he wasn't a great outside shooter, and LeBron's not a great outside shooter, but Magic was even worse. If you're making your all-time team, your backcourt's probably LeBron at the point and Jordan at the two. Then you get some shooting in the front court with like KD or Larry Bird or both. And then you get whichever center you want. But the point is, really, LeBron is a point guard. And if you want to see the kind of effect that point guard LeBron has, remember, he initiates the offense. He's one of the greatest passers ever. He makes people around him better. He's the highest usage player on the team. He is the biggest playmaker on the team. And he can guard the other team's backcourt. And he's a point guard. You want to see the effect he has? Look at the Lakers game tonight against the Knicks. Today, the Lakers play the Knicks, and LeBron is expected to return and play in that game. And why is that significant? Because he runs the offense, like they have AD. But you might lose without a guy to run your offense. LeBron runs the show, and he's likely to return, according to sources that Adrian Wojnarowski has spoken to, tonight against the New York Knicks. Missed four games after a six-week absence. You know, 6 weeks, comes back, soreness in that same right ankle, out again, but apparently he's pain-free now. Big game against the Knicks, right? Especially for the Knicks. But there's almost nothing but upside for the Lakers, barring injury. If LeBron and the Lakers, if LeBron can just come back and day one beat a scrappy team feeling themselves like the Knicks, day one, then it's like, okay, here we go. The Lakers are the Lakers, and they don't even have Schroeder back yet. And now it's on. Now you start to wonder if they could beat the Knicks tonight. Maybe you do want to avoid the play-in game just because it's a little more wear and tear. But what would you rather have, Lakers fans? 877. Sorry, what did I say? 877? 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. What would you rather have? The Lakers avoid the play-in and have to play the Clippers in round one? Or would you rather have the Lakers play the play-in, at worst have to play two games, second one against Spurs or Grizzlies, they're going to beat that team with LeBron and AD, obviously, and then have to play the Jazz or the Suns? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Is Jordan Schultz ready? All right, let's take some calls, Raj. Let's put the calls up while we're waiting for Jordan Schultz. Just take the calls. There we go. Steve in San Diego, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max?
Yes,
Steve. All the reasons that you mentioned about LeBron James a minute ago are all the things that Westbrook doesn't do. Westbrook is a two guard who has the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. He is not a great passer. He has no floater when he gets into the lane. He has no left hand. He doesn't make other players better. Westbrook is a great two guard.
Well, I'll say this:
guards of all time.
I hear what you're saying. It's not like there's not truth to what you're saying, but I think in today's day and age, there are guys who are point guards. They have the ball in their hands all the time, and they rack up a lot of assists, but they're score first point guards, right? And it's because they're not taller. So they, you know, they're just Kyrie Irving. It was interesting with James Harden. Kyrie's considered the point guard, and Harden early in his career a two guard. But when they're on the same team, Kyrie is right. He gives the ball to Harden and says, "You're the point guard, I'm the two guard," and he's right. So I don't know that I would say Westbrook's not a two guard. You might say he's a two guard in a point guard's body, But I would say he's a score-first point guard because those things exist too. Jordan Schultz on the Goodyear Hotline. Right now it is time to Mike Jordan, NBA NFL analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Jordan, we've been talking all day about Russell Westbrook and where he ranks all time. And my point is, contemporaries like Steph and Harden are better than him. He's duking it out with guys like Lillard and Kyrie. So if he's third best at best in his own era, he's obviously not third or fourth best all time. And yet, Jordan Schultz, the man averaged a triple-double for four seasons. You can only do that if you are a very great player. Where does he rank?
All time among point guards?
Yeah.
I would say, on the top of my head, you got Magic, Steph, Isaiah Thomas.
All right, while we get Jordan's connection straightened out, Raj, I'm going to take a call real quick, and we're going to get back to Jordan when he got his connection a little better. Hank in South Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Eduardo in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, thanks for taking my call. in regards to the Lakers, I would prefer them to, you know, go for that
it's too boring. Your whole intonation and everything is boring me to tears immediately. Listen, everybody, get on the phone, wait a minute. Don't say what's up, how you doing. I'm doing fine. This is not a social call. It's a radio show. Just start with your opinion or your question. You can love me. You can hate me. You can have nothing to do with me. You just have something to say or something to ask. That's fine. But bring it. You're not. This is not a help hotline or something. People are listening to you ask these questions. You have to be entertaining. Okay, so let's try it again with Scotty and Cali. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Okay, yeah,
I'll be inside somewhere.
Okay.
Okay, I can't hear Scotty. I can't hear Eduardo.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here, Max.
Who's I'm here?
This is Scotty.
Okay,
this
Scotty, is Scotty. Shoot.
Okay, so my whole concern with you guys bringing up about LeBron and, you've kind of gone back and forth like with how you felt about LeBron being over the hill or LeBron being like the MVP. So I don't know where you're at, but I've been in the same place.
I'm saying LeBron has to prove himself in these playoffs again because of his age and now injury. So in sports, you have to constantly prove and reprove. Now, I will say this. LeBron is probably in decline given his age and all the injuries. But he is declining from a position so much ahead of everyone else that he may, in decline, still be the best player in the world. And we will find that out in these playoffs. Maybe. Jordan Schultz now has the connection all straight. You there, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm here, Max. And to say what we were talking about, Listen, what's interesting about Westbrook is he came into the era of NBA basketball where his game, which is mid-range jump shooting and attacking, isn't necessarily valued the same way it would have been 15 years ago. You know, now we're talking about three-point shooting, so the Damian Lillards and Steph Currys of the world have really had a great impact. But, you know, Westbrook and Chris Paul, these guys have done it their way. I think what Westbrook's doing right now is extraordinary at his age at 32. And I wouldn't say he's reinvented himself, but to find a way to stay relevant and to be this athletically dominant, even at this advanced stage, makes me put him in that conversation of top five to seven point guards of all time.
Yeah,
and you said earlier, is he a point guard? Is he a shooting guard? You know, I just think he's like one of these. He's like a weapon. You know, he is his own guy, and he's done it his own way. And I'd love to see him get a championship to validate a lot of that. You know,
I totally agree, Jordan. When you say top five to seven, I think that might be slightly generous, but he is in the conversation after Magic. You know, among the others, somewhere in the top 10, somewhere maybe lower.
You put him ahead of Isaiah? No, because Isaiah.
No, I don't put him ahead of Isaiah. And I think that people sleep on Stockton nowadays, but you can talk about him with Stockton and Kidd.
Gary Payton.
And Gary Payton, exactly, and National. You know
Jason
who I liken
Kidd.
It to, Jordan? Talking to Jordan Schultz, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You know who I liken it to? Pete Rose in baseball, who should obviously be in the Hall of Fame. Mm. Gambling had nothing to do with all those hits.
Yeah.
Pete Rose broke a record that only a super great player could break,
right?
The hits record. And he was a multi-positional star. But at no one position would you put him in the top five all time, at any of his positions. You would say, no, he's not a top five first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, outfielder. No. But is he a top five multi-positional player? Yeah, maybe. Top five multi-positional player, if that's a thing. Westbrook is like, if you want to say he's top 10, it's almost like not even just point guards. Is he a top 10 multifunctional backcourt player? Like, we
top
have to come
15.
Up with a new name
15.
For it, you know?
I wouldn't put him ahead of Oscar, but yeah, he's in this conversation. You're absolutely right. And if he were to win a title, I think it would elevate him. You know, Max Marino never won a title, and he gets killed for it all the time. Same with Barkley. You know, great all-time players, but they are... As a result, whether it's fair or not, they are not necessarily put in the same conversation as some of the other greats.
I think it is fair. You know why? It's real. We were talking about this on First Take today. Like, are Tatum and Brown good enough to lead the Celtics to a championship? The answer, in the way people mean it, is the answer is no. If Tatum and Brown are your two best players, you need minimum two other players almost as good as Jaylen Brown. Because the only, like, if you say the two players that can get you to a championship, Kobe and Shaq. Like, Penny, not good enough. You need Kobe with Shaq, right? Like, it's so, so hard to do. So when we say, hey, are we going to hold it against Barkley and Malone that they didn't win a championship? My answer is yes, because if you're Tim Duncan and you have some help, you can win a championship. If you're Karl Malone or Charles Barkley, well, that's because they ran into Jordan. There's always someone there's Jordan, or there's LeBron, or once upon a time there was Bill Russell. There's always someone like that in your way. So I do hold it against. I do think championship validates guys.
Especially in basketball. Football, even maybe a little bit less so. I mean, you put it on the quarterback, but basketball, I think especially, we put an emphasis on it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Lakers and Clippers, here's my contention, Jordan. I want to hear what you have to say. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA and NFL insider and analyst on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. We've mic'd Jordan. Mike Jordan, get it, everybody? We mic'd
Jordan.
Yeah,
Mike Jordan.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, I don't know. That joke may be flawed. We have to change this name to the Schultz Report, right? So LeBron James and the Lakers get it together and get to be a sixth seed, right? And they play the Clippers in round one. I think a lot of Lakers fans are hoping for that. But I'll tell you what, Jordan, I'm a Lakers fan. I would rather them play the play-in game because they could lose to the Warriors or Portland if Dame or Steph get hot one game, but then they ain't going to lose with LeBron and AD and everybody to the Grizz or to the Spurs, right, after having already lost the game. They ain't going to lose. So that would enable them to play the Suns or the Jazz in the first round, having already played some playoff games, as opposed to going in cold, just getting your team back to face the Clippers in round one. What would you rather happen if you're a Lakers fan?
I don't want any part of the play-in game because if I'm a Laker fan, we have not been consistent the second half of the season to say we're going to feel good about playing in that format. I mean, they're 24th in offensive efficiency. They don't make threes at a consistent enough clip. And as we've said, they struggle to create offense. So for me, if I'm a Laker fan, I want the path of least resistance with the least amount of opportunities to go wrong. And that's not the play-in game. You mentioned the Clippers last night. If you're a Laker fan, aren't you watching that game going, this is really bad. This is not just a one-game, situation. We have real problems. You're seeing the Clippers, the number one offense in the league with Brooklyn, you're seeing them torch you. You're seeing them jump passing lanes and spread you out and drive and kick. These are all issues that just having Anthony Davis back at 85% is not going to solve. So, Max, for me, I'd rather not, not deal with the playoff play-in game and, try my luck at a best of seven.
Try your luck, best of seven. The Clippers, who should be favored if that series? Well,
Clippers.
The Clippers should be favored. No, I mean just if the Lakers and the Clippers play in the first round, which is a distinct possibility.
Clippers are like -175 in that series.
See what I'm saying? Like Lakers fans, there's some hope there to win because LeBron has performed miracles in the past,
right.
But it almost is going to take one to get by this Clippers team, given all the injuries that the Lakers have had to overcome and the lack of continuity. Jordan Schultz.
See, I haven't bought into the Clippers until now. Like, I'm at the point where I just keep saying, well, look what happened last year against Denver. But I'm at the point now where I think it's really hard to watch them play and say they're not a legitimate contender, and they might not be favored, or maybe they should be favored to win the West. You know, I mean, I love Phoenix, I love Utah, but when we watch the Clippers play and Kawhi and PG are locked in, and they have a short rotation that's very good and efficient, and Ty Lue, who's been there, it's hard to look at them and say they shouldn't win at all, or they shouldn't win the West.
Jordan Schultz, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Jordan, we'll talk next week. We'll get that
Max,
connection fixed up.
I want to talk boxing next week, too, because I've been watching a lot of fights.
I know, Jordan's
and,
a fight fan.
I need some tips.
All right. We'll get into some fight game for sure. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it. A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th. Available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. All right, maybe not that good, but pretty damn good. With straight talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Coming up tomorrow on Greeny, former Packers head coach Mike Holmgren on the future of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Mike Holmgren, tomorrow morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
A little mini Woj bomb. Going to get to that in a second. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. Yep, breaking news on LeBron status for tonight. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. LeBron James, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who tweeted this out minutes ago, is going to... Am I keeping you in suspense? No, I should just tell you what's going to happen. Well, maybe if you had other sources of information, you could simply check those and stop listening to me, but I have you at my mercy because there's no other way to find this information. LeBron's going to give that right ankle one more day of rest, so he will not be playing against the Knicks tonight. The target return has now been moved to tomorrow versus the Rockets. Sources tell Dave McMenamin and Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, I understand. Look, you're not going to play LeBron in back-to-backs, right? But who says he has to play in the first game of the back-to-back? Why not play him in the second game of the back-to-back? Because this way, at least the ankle, like if you can only play one game, why not play the game that gives the ankle even another day of rest? I understand it. It makes sense. You know, Doc Rivers could have handled some stuff better for the Sixers at a certain point where Embiid, what were the details? I'm forgetting already. But the way he did it is he played Embiid in a game they were very likely to lose and then sat him in the second of the back-to-back so they had no one to play. Like, everyone was out, including Embiid, and so they lost again. So they had two losses. Instead of that second game being the game they could maybe win, you rest him on the front end of it, play him on the back end of it, right? Maybe the Sixers would have won one of those games. I get the Lakers thinking here. It's smart, guys. Lakers fans, it's smart. I know it's disappointing because, you know, Lakers, Knicks, big high profile, the whole thing. But if you can only play one of the games anyway, why not select the second of the back-to-back to play instead of the first and give the ankle even another day? Mike in South Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
If we going to make LeBron a point guard, I'm making Westbrook a two.
Yeah, you can.
He's three on that list.
You can. You can make Westbrook a two. You can make Westbrook a two. By the way, you can call him a point center in a way. Like, you know, a lot of the game today, you still need a paint presence. And Westbrook was doing in certain ways for the Rockets what centers used to do in the paint for teams. But he would do it with dribble penetration to the paint. And that would set things up. So, like, you know, positions have changed. It's not like it used to be. Yes, if you want to call Westbrook a two guard, although I think Westbrook is too on ball to be called a two guard. You know, I think in my conception of what a point guard is on offense, it's the primary ball handler. and the orchestrator of the offense, right? And then if also on defense you're guarding the other team's backcourt players, one or the other, then I would say it's fair to say that that person's a point guard. Like, if you want to say Luka's not a point guard, it's because on defense he doesn't guard, but he is on offense, he's the point guard. Point forward, but it's what we've always called point guard. You bring the ball up, you initiate the offense, you orchestrate the offense, especially if you're a great passer. And by the way, if you made your all-time team, one of the issues was, okay, Magic's at point, Jordan's at the two, LeBron's at the three. You don't have enough shooting all of a sudden, right? That's why people started putting Steph Curry as the point guard. I want more shooting. No, you just put LeBron at the one, Jordan at the two. You could have KD at the three and Bird at the four. Now you have plenty of shooting. Take whichever center you want. Aaron in Phoenix, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, love you, Max. I just think, I don't know if you watched the Suns-Lakers game Sunday. The Lakers beat the brakes. And I'm from Phoenix, love the Suns. And, you know, I think the Lakers, if they, you know, everyone's trying to avoid the play-in, but if they get the Suns in the first round, I mean, they could potentially rest LeBron and KD, because the Suns have no, and I'm terrified of playing the Lakers in round one, because the Suns do not have an answer for the Lakers. And
by the way,
this is exactly right.
Aaron in Phoenix, exactly right. If you listen to Jordan Schultz, he was on earlier in this show, but a couple weeks ago, we were talking about DeAndre Ayton. And I really like the Suns' chances this year, in the regular season at least, because they were 8-0 in the bubble, and then they added Chris Paul. And unlike, hey, I want to see how this Bradley Beal Westbrook thing works out. I want to see how this Harden Kyrie thing works out. And both worked out. But unlike those situations, Chris Paul with Devin Booker, you're like, yeah, it's going to work great. And it did. And then to have guys like Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and guys who don't need the ball but can defend and shoot the three, you know, I really like the construction of this team. And the biggest question mark, ironically, heading into the season, I was talking about it, was DeAndre Ayton. But you figured Chris Paul would have a good effect on DeAndre Ayton. And he has, it looks to me. But as Jordan Schultz pointed out weeks ago, DeAndre Ayton is defensively a couple years away, right? And right now, they got nothing for AD especially. So, and that was without LeBron, they smoked the Suns, right? By the way, the Nuggets have a hard time with AD too, because defensively, Jokic is not a whole lot. Can't really do much with AD. So I agree with you. I've been saying, as a Lakers fan, I'd rather them be in the playing game, because it's not one game, it's a two-game set. If as a 7-8, you have two shots, you can lose your matchup to the Warriors or the Trailblazers, and then you still get another game with the winner of Spurs-Grizzlies. You ain't losing that game, too. Uh-uh. Not these Lakers. Not with LeBron and AD. No. And then you can play the Suns or the Jazz. I like their chances in those matchups better than I like their chances against the Clippers. And that's coming. Aaron's a Suns fan, and he says that. I agree. Ramona coming up? Excellent. LeBron ever going to be 100% again? Ramona Shelburne's going to come on to discuss it. I just found out in real time, because Raj, once again, forgot to mute his Zoom. So you heard it when I heard it.
Let's get out on time. Let's go.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. Do you hear my computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? Raj certainly does. Well, you don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off, and that's it. Now they're IT pros, and you could too. You could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start a new life in as little as 4 months. Roger may send you there anyway, because we need to learn how to work this Zoom stuff. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Had Logan Paul on as a guest. Oh, you don't like it? You hate watch it if you want. I think he's a charming dude. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer. Ramona,
going on, Max?
What's up, homegirl? I haven't talked to you.
Paul, what did you talk about boxing? Like,
yeah.
I want to know what you're taking seriously as a boxer.
Yeah, we talked about boxing.
You're into it?
We talked about all kinds of stuff. Yeah, his career and his the reception of him by boxing people. Ramona, I did not have you on to talk about Logan Paul, nor did I have you on to talk about boxing.
We haven't caught up in a while, man.
I know. We have to catch up. So, meantime, LeBron is going to miss the Knicks game tonight.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to me, Ramona, because if you can't play both games of a back-to-back, why not play the one that gives you an extra day to rest? Why not? LeBron said recently he'll never be 100% again. Do you take him at his word?
I do. And you know what? I started asking some medical people about the actual injury he has. And we always refer to this thing called the high ankle sprain. That's like fake medical language. Like, doctors don't refer to it as that, okay? The type of injury he has is something that takes months to recover from, to ever feel like you're yourself again. You can come back from it, but it's a hard injury because there's not other muscles and ligaments that you can strengthen. Like, usually you sprain your ankle, you strengthen everything else around it, okay? This one, it's like the webbing in between your two bones there, and there's just nothing you can do until that area heals. And you know, speaking to a physical therapist who treats these kind of injuries all the time, and they said, you know, the latest research on this is if you have pain 4 weeks in that spot after your initial injury, you'll probably still have pain 4 months afterwards. It's just a tricky injury, and he's going to have pain the rest of this year. He's just going to be managing it, and I think that's what he's saying. Like, I'm never going to be 100% again. Yeah, it's going to take a while. He's going to have to manage this, and so I think for the Lakers right now, I think you almost resign yourself to this playing game. It's they have to win all of the rest of their games and hope Portland loses pretty much all of their games in order to even have a shot at that sixth seed. It's about getting some consistency out there, just getting Bron back into the flow of things and being able to build something going into this play-in tournament.
Yeah, I think actually the playing game, talking to Ramona Shelburne, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN senior writer and NBA insider, covered the Lakers for years. I think it's a blessing in disguise for the Lakers, Ramona, because the play-in game would mean even if you lose to the Trailblazers or Warriors, because you're a 7-8, you get to play the winner of Grizz Spurs, who you will certainly beat. You ain't losing. LeBron and AD ain't losing that game after losing it. And then you get the Suns or the Jazz. I like that matchup better than after, especially playing in some competitive games, getting the juices going. Better than walking in cold, reintegrating Schroeder, LeBron, and AD to a Clippers series in the first round. Jordan Schultz just said Clippers would be almost a 2-1 favorite in that matchup.
I agree with you. I mean, to me, like, the Jazz and the Suns have to prove something, right? The Lakers is still the defending chance. We have one of those 5-on-5s. I was about to write it, and one of the questions is, if the Lakers win in the play-in tournament, like, let's say they advance, they're either the 7 or the 8 seed, should they be favored in their first round playoff series? I think I'm going to say yes.
Right.
I think they should be favored. They're defending champs.
Right, but the underdogs, for me, against the Clippers, because they don't have the continuity that the Clippers do, and the Clippers would be very close to a push against them anyway, given the team that they've put together. The great Ramona Shelburne, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Ramona, we have to have you on this show to catch up in the near future, but we're off the air in a couple minutes, so we'll say goodbye
now. I get it.
The great Ramona Shelburne, ladies
and
gentlemen.
You can call me.
I got your number. You got mine. Ramona Shelburne, ladies and gentlemen. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Giving everyone 20 seconds to get their point off. Trey from Dallas, go.
Hey, so real quick, I was just going to say about LeBron. I agree with you. It's your team. You can put whoever you want at point guard. Russell Westbrook. I'm a little surprised by how high everybody's ranking him. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, a point guard's got to be the instigator of the offense. He has great stats, but I don't think he plays winning basketball. I've seen him as a point guard yell at his center for getting a rebound when he's one away from a triple-double. I don't think that's winning basketball.
I hear what you're saying. I think mostly Westbrook is a winning player, I think. I hear what you're saying about his effect on winning. His teams have not made a lot of deep playoff runs. And by the way, here's a rule of thumb, people. Let's say you could say realistically in the modern era, meaning since the absorption of the ABA, the three-point line, you know, in the early 80s, let's say, or late 70s. Take the late 70s, really, is what I'm talking about. How many eras have there been since then? Four or five, you could say, right? Three or four at least. And if every 10, 15 years, if you're the at best third best player at your position in your era, and there are like four or five eras, you're probably not a top five all time at your position, right? Probably you're somewhere, you go three times, at best he's three, three times four or five. You're 10 to 15, 12 to 15 somewhere. I think Westbrook's a little better than that. I think he's in the top 10, but maybe just barely at point guard all time. It's a hell of a thing to be. He's a great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And averaging a triple-double over the course of four seasons and also doing it in every season, you can only do that if you're great. I don't care the era you play in. A non-great player can't do that. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We laughed. We cried. We actually did neither. A little laughing. Not a lot, but no crying. You check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, Shanahan Golic Jr. coming up right now. See you tomorrow. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.